So our reading tonight is taken from Acts 20, verses 13 to 38. We went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Assos, we took him aboard and we went on to Mytilene. The next day, we set sail from there and arrived at Chios. The day after that, we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit to you God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved him most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship.
I wonder when you've said a painful goodbye. When I was a boy, a family in our church emigrated to Australia. I'll never forget it. I went to their house straight from school. All the neighbours were out on the pavement to wave goodbye. Many of the church members had come to see them off. Then I went with my dad to Heathrow to send them on their way. The family wanted to live in Australia, but it was very emotional. They had many ties in the UK, they loved their church, and so with much weeping, we said goodbye. It's a bit like that for the Apostle Paul here, as he says goodbye to the Ephesian elders. Remember that Paul has spent 3 years with this church. He loves them. They love him. Furthermore, whereas my friends who emigrated to Australia would be able to come back on holiday, they'd be able to keep in touch these days on social media or WhatsApp or Skype, or FaceTime. Paul and the Ephesian elders knew that Paul would never see them again. There was, of course, no social media or telephones. And Paul knows that he's likely to die before he can see his friends again. But because he loves Christ and wants to serve Christ, because he wants others to come to know Christ, Paul is determined to go on his way and serve Jesus, no matter what the consequences. What we learn from Paul's example here is that Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth sacrificing our entire lives for. So, we've got this coastal voyage to Miletus. These points are on the sheets on your tables. Paul's address to the Ephesian elders, ministering because Jesus is worth it, suffering because Jesus is worth it, guarding the flock because Jesus is worth it. And then the farewell. So firstly then, a coastal voyage to Miletus, verses 13 to 16. Paul has been in Troas for a week, teaching and preaching. Now his companions, including Luke, the author of Acts, they go on ahead to the ship and sail for Assos, in verse 13. Paul goes on foot, possibly. This was just as quick as sailing. Possibly he was afraid of sailing. Possibly he wanted the exercise. They meet up at Assos, verse 14, and go on to Mytilene. The next day they set sail from Mytilene and arrived off Chios. The day after that, they cross over to Samos. And on the following day, they arrive at Miletus. Verse 16, Paul bypasses Ephesus because he's in a hurry to reach Jerusalem by Pentecost. And at Miletus, verse 17, Paul sends for the Ephesian elders, which brings us, secondly, to Paul's address to the Ephesian elders. So if we can just have the points going back on. Paul reminds them how he lived among them. Firstly, ministering. Because Jesus is worth it. He reminds them, verse 19, how he served the Lord with great humility and with tears. This is very striking. Paul was a great man. People are still discussing his writings at the greatest universities 2,000 years after his death. He was one of the greatest intellects in history. And yet, verse 19, he served the Lord with great humility. Mind you, he knew that he had much to be humble about. He'd been complicit in the murder of Christians. He'd been a terrible person. And yet, God had saved him. God had rescued him from his sin. God had loved him and forgiven him. God had blessed him. God had given him a new life, a new start. And therefore, he has great humility. All that he is now is entirely due to God. He has nothing to be proud about. And the same is true, isn't it, for all of us. Humility. And Paul ministers with tears. He's not just an academic theologian. He loves God. The gospel moves him. He is moved by the fact that Jesus died for him. He's grieved by his own sin and the sin of others. He's grieved by persecution. He ministers despite persecution from Jewish opponents. It really costs Paul that he is persecuted. He doesn't just brush it off. He sheds tears. It bothers him when the church is attacked. And yet, he keeps going. Why? Because Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth sacrificing our entire lives for. Verse 20, Paul did not hesitate to preach anything helpful to them, both publicly and from house to house. We sometimes hesitate, don't we? Should I say that? But it may cause offense. If it's the offense of the gospel, we must give that offense. We must not hesitate to preach anything that will be helpful in enabling people to follow Christ, both in public meetings and in one-to-one settings, because Jesus is worth it. He is worth taking the risk of giving offense. And what was Paul's helpful message? Verse 21. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. All people must turn to God in repentance, turning away from their sin, and putting their faith in the Lord Jesus. All other gods must be left behind. We must solely trust in Jesus to be our Savior from hell for heaven. Secondly, suffering. Because Jesus is worth it. Verses 22 to 27. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what may happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. I wonder, would we obey God if we knew we were walking into a persecution situation? Paul is an amazing example here, verse 24. I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. So Paul is determined to go and preach the gospel in Jerusalem, even though he knows it could cost him his life, because he believes that Jesus is worth it. I wonder, does this put our struggles in the shade? We find it rather intimidating to share the gospel with our neighbors or with our colleagues or with our friends at the gym or our other contacts, when in all probability no one is going to persecute us. The worst that will happen is that they won't like us, probably. We need to learn from Paul and complete the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace, because Jesus is worth it. Now, verse 25, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Paul knows there'll be no possibility of a return visit to Ephesus. Verse 26, therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you. If any of them fails to make it to heaven, it won't be Paul's fault. He has taught the gospel plainly to all of them. Verse 27, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. That's a model for the Christian teacher. We must teach the whole Bible and nothing but the Bible, because Jesus is worth it. And then thirdly, guarding the flock because Jesus is worth it. Verses 28 to 35. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. That's important. The Christian leader must keep watch over himself first. He must guard his own quiet times with God. He must watch his behavior. He must be an example to his family before he can be an example to the church. This is a high and challenging calling. Verse 28b, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. What does a shepherd do? A shepherd cares for the sheep. A pastor must love the people. A shepherd feeds the sheep. A pastor must teach the people from the word of God. A shepherd protects the sheep. A pastor must point out false teaching and warn the flock to stay clear of it. And only because the church has been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. This is why Jesus is worth it. Jesus loves the church. The Father loves the church. The Trinity loves the church so much that before the creation of the world, the Trinity decided that Jesus would leave the glory of heaven and come to die for the church, to redeem the church from sin, death, and hell. We are God's blood-bought children. And therefore, although there's much in this passage for us to do, primarily, we are a people for whom everything has been done. Christ has done everything to secure our salvation. Now, we serve him. Not because we're earning salvation, but because we love him. We're so grateful to him for all he's done for us. We love him, and we want to serve him because Jesus is worth it. Particularly as elders, we want to serve him here by protecting the church from attack. Verse 29, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and not spare the flock. These wolves are false teachers. They will not teach the way of Jesus Christ. Verse 30, even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day with tears. The elders must stand guard over the church. They must remember what Paul taught them. They must be willing to expel even members of their own eldership who will teach false, non-biblical things. Verse 32. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The greatest security for the Ephesian church is that it is committed to God and to the word of his grace. Grace means God loving us and blessing us, even though we don't deserve it at all. It's wonderful, wonderful to be entrusted to God's grace, knowing that his word can build us up. Pastoral ministry seems too much sometimes. It's a huge task. But if we teach the word of God's grace, this will build the church up. People will come to maturity in Christ. They will become more like Christ. They will live lives which honor and please Christ because Jesus is worth it. God does the work by his grace. And we will all have an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. In other words, as God's word is taught to us, we will be converted, we will become Christians, we will live for Christ, and we will inherit heaven together with all God's people. All as a gift of God's grace. We could never earn it, but God simply gives this to those who trust and follow Christ. And then we see that Jesus is worth it. Then Paul defends himself, verse 33. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. Paul has worked with his own hands as a tent maker to supply his own needs and the needs of his companions. Verse 35, in everything he did, he showed that by hard work we must help the weak. I think we do see this in Christchurch. The weak and poor are helped thanks to generous giving, not just financial giving, but the giving of time and gifts, serving Christ. We do remember the words of Jesus. It is more blessed to give than receive. Jesus is worth it. And then the farewell, verses 36 to 38. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. What a moment that must have been. They all wept, verse 37, as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most, verse 38? Was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. In conclusion, how have we been challenged and encouraged this evening? We've seen how Paul, verse 19, served the Lord with great humility and tears. All because Jesus is worth it. Could we cultivate a life of serving Jesus? Soon after the publication of John Stott's 1971 revised edition of Basic Christianity, he received a letter that read, "Dear John, thank you for writing Basic Christianity. It led me to make a new commitment of my life to Christ. I'm old now, nearly 78, but not too old to make a new beginning. I rejoice in all the grand work you are doing. Yours sincerely, Leslie Weatherhead." Leslie Weatherhead was one of the most respected and influential Christian leaders in the United Kingdom. Thousands heard him preach at City Temple. His books were read widely. He pioneered in the field of pastoral counseling, and he was president of the Methodist Conference. Yet, at 78 years old, he was not too proud or too worn out to make a fresh commitment of his life. Is Jesus worth this for us? Could we be sold out to Jesus? Could we love him above all other things? Could we really care about the ministry of the gospel? Despite the fact that there will be opposition, in the midst of attack and suffering, Paul kept going. Can we learn from that? Is Jesus worth it for us? Jonathan Edwards was the leader of the revival in America in the 18th century. He said this, "I go out to preach with two propositions in mind. First, every person ought to give his life to Christ. Second, whether or not anyone else gives him his life, I will give him mine." Don't give up. Be like Paul. Be like Jonathan Edwards. Give your life to Christ. Give your life to Christ fundamentally when you become a Christian. Give your life to Christ every day. When you get up in the morning, give your life to Christ. When you go out to work, give your life to Christ. When you're serving your family, give your life to Christ. Whatever you're doing, give your life to Christ, because Jesus is worth it. Let's pray. Father, we confess that we find Paul's example very challenging. How he serves you with humility and tears and bravely faces up to persecution. All because he believes that Jesus is worth it. Forgive us, Lord, for our lack of love for you, our lack of enthusiasm in serving Jesus. Help us to give our lives to Christ, whether that's for the first time, if we've never done it before, Help us to give our lives to Christ. Or even if we've been a Christian for many years, help us to dedicate our lives to Christ tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. Help us to live in such a way that it is clear that we believe Jesus is worth it. So help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.